This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is a Monday morning after all, which means we bring you Africa Center. This is where we go beyond the borders of South Africa and get to appreciate what is happening in the continent and the world around us. So much is there for the taking and for the talking. So many things are still happening around us, but you know, we have to take them one bite at a time, whether you are looking in Eswatini, where the pro-democracy protests have once more flared up, leading to the monarch there, King Mswati III, I think, closing schools for the moment. If you go to Ivory Coast, we hear that the former president, Laurent Gbagbo, has now launched a new political party. What does that mean for the Ivorians, the stability, political stability there, and all things happening? Of course, Tigray continues to be a place of focus in terms of conflict resolution in the continent, and many other contestations happening around the world, but not least in Zimbabwe, where the government seems ready to bar unvaccinated civil servants from work. And we are going to be joined now by Peter Mutasa, president of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions. We have seen a global outcry against mandatory vaccines in various jurisdictions around the world. Some people have taken to the streets not only to protest against mandatory vaccines. Some people are also saying they are tired of the manner in which COVID-19 is managed. But let's go to Zim and hear from President Peter Mutasa. Peter, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning and thank you for inviting me. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you so much. We saw that your government there in Zimbabwe seems to have plans to bar unvaccinated government workers from reporting to duty. What is your attitude as a trade union to these pronouncements by government?
We are obviously concerned because we know that a lot of workers will be affected. And we are also concerned because we still have a number of issues that we have not discussed. The government took a unilateral decision without discussing with the workers, without discussing with the unions. So there are a lot of issues that are unresolved, and we are very much concerned as trade unions.
And of course, let's just get a sense, Peter. Let's take a step back. Let's talk about the vaccination drive in Zimbabwe. How far is it? Seemingly, some people placing it at 2.5 million out of 15 million that have been fully vaccinated. Just give us an appreciation of, you know, where you are as a country in terms of the vaccination drive, how the response from the citizens has been to the call to get vaccinated.
So, yes, we have fairly done well. The government has fairly done well in terms of making vaccines available. We have some challenges with getting the second jab. We are still only using the two Chinese Sinovac and the Russian one, Sputnik V, and the other Chinese vaccine. So we are getting the vaccines, especially the first jab, but for the much of the time, we are facing some challenges getting the second jab. So some people have gone for months without getting the second jab. That is some distributional challenge that we have. We are better than other African countries, as you have already mentioned, our statistics that we are already over 2.5 million in terms of those who have been vaccinated with the two jab. But we are still lagging behind because of a number of issues. One, vaccine hesitance. There's still some more people who are not clear about the vaccines. We have not done well in terms of awareness, raising awareness in terms of education, even at the workplace and even nationally. So some are still hesitant. we still have people who are in areas where it's difficult for them to go to the centers where they can get vaccinated. And we also have some centers that are congested. So all those things need to be addressed for us to move with speed. But generally, we are doing much better than other African countries.
I wonder, Peter, on that score, is there any understanding as to of the government employees, how many have been vaccinated?
We are still trying to gather how many are affected and how many have been vaccinated from the public sector unions, because the deadline was 15 October. And we are still to gather how many are affected. But we know, looking at the national statistics, where we haven't gone beyond 20% yet, that a number of people are not yet vaccinated, which is one of the challenges that we are posing to government. That if you look at almost all African countries, the rate at which we are able to vaccinate cannot be compared to European countries or America, who are above 50%.
Yeah.
So when the government itself is targeting 60% herd immunity and is preparing as a matter of policy that 60% must be vaccinated fully, how can we then have vaccination passports? What will happen to the 40% that as a matter of policy is not going to be vaccinated now? When we have shortages in terms of vaccination, how can we also have bar workers from coming to work? We also have other challenges to do with the fact that those workers who are vaccinated, their families may not be vaccinated.
Yes.
They use public transport that is congested, and the majority of people in using public transport are not vaccinated. If you take for the private sector, the supermarkets that are demanding that workers must be vaccinated, they are still allowing a lot of clients. The vaccinated workers are serving many clients that are unvaccinated. So in terms of reasonableness or justification, those factors are weighing down the reasonableness of the government's orders and the employer's orders. So those are the challenges that we have. We still think a lot of workers are still not yet vaccinated for various reasons.
Absolutely. My guest is Peter Mutasa, President of Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions. We are talking about, vaccines, people being barred from going to work. You can call in on 0861-987-000 to be part of this conversation. Peter, you are aware, I'm sure, of the global conversation that's going on about, mandatory vaccines, whether this should be done at all. And we've seen a lot of pushback in various countries across the world. We've seen a lot of pushback here in South Africa in various sectors, including among university students who are not comfortable with the idea of mandatory vaccines. What's your take as the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions on the idea of mandatory vaccines going forward?
So the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions believes in science, but we also believe in justice. So we are of the view that there must be a balance between scientific knowledge that we've acquired so far and also social justice. So we are encouraging workers that are able and who are willing to be vaccinated to get vaccinated. But we are also resisting mandatory vaccination on a number of grounds. The first one being that already we are seeing that in other countries, we are talking of third jab, booster jab. So we don't think the country will be able to follow through like other countries and ensure that everyone gets fully vaccinated. And if we then have vaccine passports and mandates and disallow other people from accessing public services, for example, from accessing universities and from accessing workplaces, we may entrench the social and economic injustice of the past and inequalities that we already have. So we are saying, for as long as the government is not certain that it will be able to vaccinate everyone and within a specific time. For example, we started in March, we are already in October, and we haven't gotten to half of the population. So we will not be able to deal with some of the inequalities that are obvious. Rural people have to walk long distances to get a clinic, and they will be affected when they want to access public spaces. We also have people in the high density areas, the majority of them for various reasons, lack of awareness, lack of education, and also a lack of resources to go to the nearest vaccine center, may also be late comers in terms of being vaccinated. And in that case, they will be discriminated. So we are saying we are for voluntary vaccination. Yep. Again, the other reasons is that there are still a lot of unresolved issues. For example, we were told that every worker must be vaccinated because the unvaccinated are a danger to the vaccinated. But scientific knowledge that is coming out shows that even the vaccinated are also spreading, can also spread the virus, and the viral load is almost the same. We are also getting some scientific knowledge from latest researches from Israel that indicates that maybe natural immunity is also effective and can be a very good step towards preventing people from death and also illness. So we need to approach the matter with a little bit of care. We want everyone vaccinated if possible, but those who have got constitutional reasons, for example, religion, cultural reasons, we need to accommodate them. We also need some exemptions, even at workplaces and schools, for those people. In our case, there's also no law, because if you want to limit the constitutional rights of all of citizens in terms of Section 86 of our Constitution, you can limit, because constitutional rights are not absolute, but there must be a law of general application.
Yes.
So besides the public sector workers, we don't have a law of general application in the private sector. The government has not also promulgated a law for all citizens who are now being prevented from accessing public spaces. So what it means is that some of the actions of the government and other employers in the private sector are clearly unlawful and unconstitutional. We want the law, because it is only the law that spells out our obligations as workers and citizens clearly. That also spells us out our rights and also grants us remedies in case our rights have been violated. So as much as we want to protect public health, we should also not be oblivious to the need to protect the constitutional rights of citizens. So that's where we are coming from.
I suppose it's for this reason that as the union, you have mooted a court challenge on the government's compulsory vaccine drive to try and enforce those rights.
Yes, for that reason, one, and also for the fact that mainly that what employers were doing is unconstitutional. There's no law that grants that particular right to employers. But secondly, we're trying to drag the Minister of Labour, because in terms of our Labour Act, Section 17 of the Labour Act, the Minister has got the powers to regulate or to issue directives. In South Africa, the Minister of Employment and Labour has issued two directives. The first directive last year, if I'm not mistaken, and another amendment regulating how employers may lawfully and fairly issue vaccine mandates or mandatory vaccination, and what will happen to those who are not able to be vaccinated for various reasons, what sort of accommodation or exemptions that workers should be given. So in our case, the government, the minister has not done so. We don't have any regulation. What it means is during a time when we are fighting a global pandemic, which must be coordinated by the public sector, by the government itself, the fight against the pandemic is now left to private players, business people, who are not concerned mainly about the public health, but are concerned about their profits. So that is a dangerous approach to fighting a pandemic. And this is why we dragged the minister to the High Court, seeking the minister to be ordered by the court to regulate labor market in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic.
I'm in conversation with Peter Mutasa, president of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, looking at mandatory vaccines and their response, particularly in Zimbabwe. You can try and squeeze in a call on 0861-987-000 before we run out of time during this Africa Center conversation. Now, Peter, one of the things that I have often seen at times, you know, are transnational solidarity movements where, you know, there'd be a network of players across different countries, especially when faced with matters of common interest that go beyond the borders of those countries. Are there any conversations you are having with sister trade unions in other countries where you are trying to build a front against, you know, this growing mandatory vaccines? And I take your point that, you know, without a law of general application, it then becomes open to abuse by various players, different employers in some settings, and different departments of government themselves in others, where they would be so heavy-handed as to go beyond just mandatory vaccine and almost appear as implementing compulsory vaccination. Are there any conversations that are happening, at least in the region, in the SADC, with other trade unions that perhaps it's time you collaborated and communicated in one big voice to governments to make sure that there are pieces of legislation that regulate any form of mandatory vaccine in our countries?
So, yes, at global level, we've been working with our global federation, ITUC and ITUC Africa. But the pandemic came at a time when no one else had imagined that we can fall into such a global pandemic of that magnitude. And also, it brought in a lot of fear around the globe. And no one had any other objective besides fighting for survival. So there was no nuanced conversation within the unions at the start of the pandemic. Mm. We are beginning now to look at some of the arm-twisting tactics that some governments are using, and some of the fascist policies that we are now beginning to see, and some of the realities that this pandemic is not going to affect all of us equally. It is also discriminatory in terms of how it is going to affect us. It is also engendering inequalities. Mm. So now we are beginning to build some conversations around how specific communities are affected, how specific livelihoods are affected more than the others, and how specific sectors are left behind in terms of vaccination, in terms of education, in terms of information. So, yes, we are starting to see some conversation, but there was also hesitance within the trade union movement, and we started because everyone thought it would be immoral to speak against the vaccination or against some strategies, heavy-handed strategies that government were taking. But I think now we are building consensus on one thing, that we must all encourage vaccination, but we must also encourage voluntary vaccination. So we are going to see how it shapes up in the near future.
I might have lost my guest there, Peter Mutasa. Senator, can we please try and get that line? Can we please get that line going again? It just cut on me. I am in conversation with the president of Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, Peter Mutasa. Just lost connection with him, and we're hoping that we can get him back on the line just to wrap up this conversation that we are having. I mean, he's alluding to the fact that at some point it was even much more difficult to actually take a stance against government insofar as the vaccination drive is concerned, but just taking us through as to why they are thinking that the government itself is not consistent with Section 86 of the country's constitution insofar as the limitation of rights without a law of general application is concerned. So these are some of the things that are emerging out of Zimbabwe. He says as a union, they do believe in science and that they appreciate the science that's coming out, but you've got to remain critical on some of those things that are problematic insofar as the vaccination drive is concerned. I think we might have my guest back on the line, but let's take a short break and just make sure that that line is stable with Peter Mutasa.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mbuni. Call Lukhona on 0861-987-000.
Indeed you can, or tweet me at Lukhona Mbuni, hashtag Power Talk. Peter, I believe I have you back on the line. You were just wrapping up that point, you know, on how things have evolved as we are dealing with this virus and the possibilities to disagree on certain approaches. I wonder, Peter, some people have often critiqued the government as, you know, being somewhat authoritarian in how it is dealing with this issue. Some rights activists saying that, and also just saying that livelihoods are being placed at risk with the idea of mandatory vaccines. We know that during the lockdowns in some communities, there was a lot of, especially around Bulawayo, there was a lot of clampdown on informal traders and so on. How would you say the government is trying to balance the real tension which we've been dealing with the world over between securing lives and livelihoods?
So the best way of balancing the tensions and societal internal conflict is provided for in the constitution. Mm. So the constitution, our constitution, expected that there will be some issues of public emergency.
Yes.
So if you look at our section 86 that I've mentioned, there are it is very clear on what grounds that our constitutional rights may be limited, and public health is one of it. If you look at section 87, it also speaks about a state of emergency. But in all those cases, the constitution is very clear. The government cannot do things arbitrarily and without care of the concerns and constitutional rights of its citizens. In both sections, the government must promulgate a law, which clearly should come from the and be approved by probably by the parliament and also by the minister in terms of regulations, but with oversight of the parliament. So it is the constitution that can balance, it's only the only document that can balance those interests and those conflicting interests. Anything else, whether you are doing it for the good of citizens, if you are doing it outside the constitution, chances are that you may use your immense powers arbitrarily and unjustly, and unjustly cause injustice to other people. Mm. So that's what we are seeing. And also, there's not been national dialogue. COVID is no longer a novel thing. We've been having COVID since 2019. We've had three waves now.
Mm.
We have failed to learn, and I'm seeing this across Africa. We have failed to learn our mistakes in the first wave. And in the first wave, we said to government, well, who was aware? We were all not aware. We didn't know anything. But when we then made proposals, for example, in the first wave, we made proposals that we need to have to enhance our, we need to enhance our social protection.
Yes.
There are many people who are vulnerable. Zimbabwe is 66% informalized, and 76% of our jobs are in the informal economy.
Mm.
So all those people had no insurance, had no income protection. We said we must provide some social protection in terms of cash transfers.
Mm.
And that didn't happen in the first wave, second wave, and third wave. If we've got another fourth wave, what we are certain about is people are just going to be locked out. There will be lockdowns, but people will be locked out or locked down without food,
mm.
without any basic necessities. So these are things that we think any responsible government should address.
Absolutely.
And we have no excuse because we've gone for 3 weeks already.
Absolutely. Peter, thank you so much for your time this morning and being so generous with it here on Power 98.7 in Johannesburg, South Africa.
It's been my pleasure, and thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. That's Peter Mutasa, President of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, taking us through their approach, their thinking, and their challenge to the Zimbabwean government insofar as mandatory vaccines are concerned.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.